This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Aero Code 8, Kickstarter is kickstarting, SMS is expensive, and HTC has some splaining to do. Stay tuned. Hey, techno fiends, and welcome back to another episode of Aero Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, the host at the most, because I've got the most. I got it, and I'm keeping it to myself. No, I'll share it with all of you, and I'll share it with my beautiful, lovely, illustrious co-host, Sam Briggs.
That might have been the first time anyone has ever called me lovely or lustuous.
Well, you know.
And welcome back, everyone.
All right, let's hit up the tech news, and we'll, like I said in the last episode, we'll bite it, we'll chew it, nice little bitty chewable pieces for you, and spit it back at you like a mama bird. Our first story is Windows 8. Yes, I actually was telling you, Sam, before we started recording, that I need to install this again on something and try it out in the newest version. The first one I tried was the absolute first version that was released to the public, and it was okay, but I was kind of about it. I didn't try the newest version, so I need to get that on something. But the news of Windows 8 this week is that. Now, we knew about this last week, but I didn't put it into our show notes because we didn't have dollar signs attached to it, and that's what I was waiting for. If you buy a Windows 7 machine after June 2nd, now, after June 2nd, I will repeat that, after June 2nd, Apple gets people with this crap all the time, after June 2nd, if you buy it after June 2nd, that's five times, that's the rule, you have to repeat something five times, you will be able to upgrade to Windows 8 for just $15. That's pretty good. I was actually genuinely taken aback by this. I thought for sure, the lowest they'll ever go is $50. What'd you think? Yeah.
The in the history of Windows, it's generally been free upgrades, but I figured since this was effectively not an OS rewrite, but a sidestep that offered so many more features than a standard, you know, going from XP to Vista, guess what? Your computer still does the same thing. But Windows 7 to Windows 8 offers you your entire mobile, you know, all of your mobile access if you're already invested into Windows Phone or into Xbox. It gives you access to all of that. I was actually expecting, you know, you're out of luck by the operating system at full price. That's honestly what I was expecting.
That's kind of what I was expecting, too. You know, I mean, they have, like you said, they have offered free upgrades to people. But, you know, I mean, it was a free upgrade to a lower version of the next operating system. You know, this is actually like Windows 8 Pro, not the standard one.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty good. You know, $15, you know, get you. I mean, Apple's updates are always like $30. So, you know, I'm okay with $15 to upgrade your entire operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember.
Yeah, it's definitely, especially considering that there is going to be a huge push this year, already has, with the Windows Phone operating system and with various other Windows services. So, I mean, it's not just an upgrade that fixes things and makes things look prettier. It's actually adding more functionality. For $15, the functionality it's going to add, definitely worth it.
Exactly. All right. So remember that date is June 2nd. All right. Sam, let me ask you this. Have you ever donated to anything on Kickstarter?
No. I've considered it many times.
Wow, really? The guy who buys...
One of these days I will...
The guy who buys beta programs won't donate to something on Kickstarter?
Well, it's mostly just the, whenever I find something, I really want to donate to, I look at the time left and how much they have left to do, and I'm like, oh, yeah, my $5 is not going to do it. And it just makes me feel sad that I'm not a billionaire, that I could just throw $1 million at really awesome projects.
That's true. And this is a really awesome project. And I, you know, it's one of those things where I've donated to a lot of different Kickstarters. This one, it was a little pricey for me at the moment. And I was like, oh, well, if I could just hit it at the end, if I could just catch it right at the end, I'll be able to put the money down and do it. The company is Pebble, and they basically are creating a watch that interfaces with your cell phone, and this is both iPhone and Android. I believe it does. I don't think it does BlackBerry yet, but they are planning.
It'll probably never do WebOS.
No, it'll never do WebOS. however, I do think the Pebble operating system that's on the watch is actually, I think, you can create your own apps for it. So technically, someone could alter the programming to make it work with just about anything if you were smart enough. There you go, Sam. Basically, what Pebble is, like I said, it's a watch that interfaces with your cell phone. It has an e-ink display, which is one of my favorite parts about it. It looks gorgeous. You know, it'll read off GPS stuff. You know, it'll show you your run times and everything. Like, you know, you could switch music, you can see text messages if you're on an Android phone. You can do, all this different stuff that the watch can interface with is just very cool. You know, I mean, I've always wanted to hear my phone go off and just look at my watch, pretend I'm looking at what time it is, and read what the text message says. And that's, you know, that's handy in some situations. So Pebble put themselves on Kickstarter, and they, you know, they were looking for your average amount of money. They weren't going for anything ridiculous. I think I forget exactly how much they wanted at first. It was not a huge amount. It really wasn't. But throughout the time, okay, 100,000. That's what they wanted to raise. 100,000 bucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, think you're a company, put yourself on Kickstarter. You want to raise $100,000 to create the watch of your dreams and sell it. They ended up getting, before time ran out, I think they might have ended it soon, early, because they ran out of watches to sell. What they were doing is they were selling watches for the Kickstarter at a discounted price. And they sold, 85,000 watches. Okay. They've taken on 5 more employees for the company. It makes them 10 employees strong. They have 66,434 backers. Okay. Now, remember that number I told you? $100,000 is what they wanted. They came away with more than $10 million. $10 million. And they were asking for $100,000.
A hundred times.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Now,
100 times what they're asking.
Like I said, they did have to cut it short because they ran out of pre-orders. Obviously, it's going to be released now. I mean, that's just the way it is. They've got to release it. It looks like an amazing watch. The pre-order is, it's going to be available for pre-order on May 18th for $150. It'll ship right after the Kickstarter orders, and those are slated for a September arrival. So if you want to get one, go to the website, check it out, and you can pre-order one on starting the 18th. So the watch itself is something to look into. I really, really want one of these.
And for those of you wondering exactly how it would ever be useful in your everyday life, I'll put forth two scenarios off the top of my head that I know of. May not apply to everybody, but for most people, say you set your phone on the charger and you're listening to music, generally music is probably going to be the number one thing. When your phone's just sitting there, you're not doing anything with it. Obviously, you've probably got, or your tablet or anything, probably have music playing. This simple ability to click over, you know, a song, this watch can do that. You don't have to get up. You don't have to walk. You don't need to yell at Siri and get its sometimes Apple-controlled responses to, you know, switch songs, nothing like that.
Yeah, and if you have, like I said, this doesn't work with iOS because the way Apple builds our operating system, no third-party apps can read your text messages. Now, with Android, if you have an Android phone, this phone can display your text messages as they come in. This is handy in the fact that there are a lot of Android phones, including my beloved Nexus S, that do not have a notification light. So if you get a text and you're not looking at your phone and you don't hear it, the phone goes black, and you have, unless you turn the screen on, you don't know you got a text. If that's something important, you need to know it. You know, also, if you're in a meeting, if you're at work, you know, a lot of people can't use their cell phones at work. Well, you have your watch on. You feel your phone vibrate in your pocket. Like I said, you pull back your sleeve, you check the time. Oh, look at that. It's, honey, pick up a gallon of milk on the way home, o'clock. You know? I mean, that's incredibly handy. Then you've got the fact that it has downloadable and customizable watch faces. It's an e-ink display, so it lasts forever. You know, it's a beautiful-looking watch. It's a little big for smaller arms, but, you know, just check out the pictures and kind of gauge that for yourself. But, I mean, and then it's got, you know, it's got apps. You can literally load apps onto this thing. So the expansion options are almost limitless. Definitely can't wait to get one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's something I'll ever order, mostly because I'd buy it and then I'd wear it around and it'd just be a watch.
I want one.
Because I don't have any of those devices that it works with. So,
well, yeah. Maybe you should just step into the century.
Oh, ironically,
have you put CyanogenMod 9 on your touchpad yet?
Nope.
Hmm.
Mostly because, not to say my touchpad just sits there for the most part, but I'm never home to, I need faster internet to download everything I need and do it all the way that it needs to be done. So, until I get that laptop, I'm kind of stuck here. Because I lost my disk to Backtrack, which means if I want to borrow internet, I need to use my internet to download the program. I need to borrow their internet. Yeah. It's suffice to say, I'm in a bit of a pickle.
We're in a little bit of a pickle, Dick. all right. So, if you were thinking about buying a new Mac or a new MacBook, don't.
Nope.
Just wait. Just wait. WDC is right around the corner. Or WWDC. It's worth waiting. You know, Apple has this thing where every time someone buys a new Mac, they upgrade them. Every single customer, really. Yeah. You know, they swap something every single time somebody buys a Mac. And rumors are flying right now that they are preparing to launch a new 15-inch MacBook Pro, which is what I'm sitting on right now, with a high-resolution Retina display and a new ultra-thin design. I don't know how much thinner my MacBook could get without bursting into flames from the GPU, but, you know, whatever works for you, especially with a Retina display on the sucker. I mean, that's going to be a little weird. Now, I can't imagine a Retina display this large, but I want to.
Yeah, that's mostly what I'm thinking here, is like, off the top of my head, that would make... Was it...
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, it's going to be... It's going
to
be expensive, for sure. But I mean, you think about it, it's only... I mean, I'm holding my iPad 3 in front of my screen. It's not that much bigger. I mean, it is bigger, but, you know, not right. Incredibly large. So, I mean, the Retina display in that size is doable. But
right.
Still, awesome. I mean, that's going to be intense.
Yeah, the key thing is that the... Because I've never cared too much for the Air line or the Mini line. Like, I've always preferred the Pro size and features, mm-hmm. but I've actually never wanted the optical drive. And they're dropping that, supposedly dropping that also, which...
Yeah, there were rumors flying that they're going to drop the optical drive and instead put a second hard drive in its spot, which...
Right, and those are solid states, right?
They can be. It is an option. You can go from a... I believe the lowest is 320 gigabyte at the moment. Is a three for the 15? I think is a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and then you can move up through the SSDs.
Okay, I
know the.
I don't need storage space, but I like fast.
Well, if you like fast, I mean the largest MacBook Air is unbelievably speedy. I mean, if you don't need an optical drive, it's like blazingly fast. Just because of its SSD and, you know, just integrated processing power.
Oh, right.
So.
Yeah, but man, dropping that money.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest. I generally downplay, you know, display screens and such, but I actually really do like the Retina displays. They look really good.
yeah, definitely. So, needless to say,
that's where it sits.
My Mac has still got quite a few good years on it, and I won't be getting one of these. But I do have a Retina display on my iPad, so that'll keep me satiated for now. But if you're looking for a new Mac, wait. See what happens. See what comes up over the summer. More than likely, you will see anything that's going to be released for the Mac and the Mac Pro line to be released before around August of this year. Because if they're going to release these things, they're going to try to get them in the hands of students as soon as school starts back up. Because that is when people buy Macs. You know, I mean, you know, professionals and just Apple fans buy Macs year-round. But, I mean, I can only imagine the amount of Macintosh computers that get sold because of the school starting. Because all those students want the Apple. Huh. All right, next story. This one, I could have swore this was already happening when I read this. It didn't surprise me. It surprised me in the fact that it wasn't going on as we spoke. So, the United States Postal Service has a list of things they won't ship. You know, they got quite a few of them. Most of them are just dangerous in one way or the other, either dangerous to ship or just dangerous in general. You know, you can't ship kerosene. That's just the way it is. Get over it, you know? And go cry a river and get over it. Now, the one thing that I was curious about is the batteries that are in our cell phones and our electronic devices. Pardon me. Lithium-ion batteries can be dangerous when either overcharged or exposed to too much heat or anything like that. Anything that stresses the battery can technically make them pretty much burst into flames. And when I say burst into flames, look up on YouTube, overcharged lithium-ion battery, and see exactly what the term burst into flames means, because that is my test case. And basically, the United States Postal Service has said that starting May 16th, which is tomorrow, that would be Wednesday, they're going to stop shipping the lithium-ion batteries in mobile devices. So, like, people were sending tablets and cell phones and stuff like that over to troops overseas. And this is just international, by the way. This is only international shipments. And people were sending these things overseas to the troops. Now, instead of using the United States Postal Service, you are going to have to use, like, FedEx or, you know, UPS or any of these guys. Somebody you actually have to pay pretty good money to ship internationally. It is a safety situation. You know, you can't ship dangerous products. That's just the way it is. And the United States Postal Service, being a government-run entity, kind of gets to say whatever you get to ship.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I never would have even crossed my mind that anybody shipped anything via USPS. I've never in my life dropped anything off. Like, I would FedEx my mail if humanly possible, simply because, well, I can get insurance, you know, in case they decide to lose it.
Yeah. And but, I mean, I ship.
I also have just had really.
Go ahead.
What's that? No. I've just always had really bad experiences, which is kind of stereotypical, but generally really bad experiences with mail and changing addresses. So.
Gotcha. And see, I have shipped a lot of stuff using just regular snail mail. If I don't have to get it there, you know, in a day, I tend to go, and really the use of flat rate boxes has saved my life, because I can go in and I can get one of these flat rate boxes to ship something, and no matter how heavy it is, if it fits, it ships, is their motto. And it's true. I've never had a problem. I just slap it in a box that it fits in and send it away. You know, the box has a price. I pay that. Boom. I'm done. Because of that, it is a lot less hassle, and it's cheaper to ship than UPS, especially internationally. Internationally, the United States Postal Service was always cheaper. Now, if you're going to ship those wireless devices, you're going to have to use someone higher. UPS, FedEx, there's another one that's a big yellow truck. I can't remember. Obviously, they aren't that good. I don't see any of those trucks anyway. DHL.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, DHL. That's it.
Ha-ha. I'm not even sure of that one.
Yeah, you don't get many of those around here. But so it's a bummer, yes, but life goes on. What can you do? All right, T-Mobile. Remember when they tried to sell their body to AT&T? And the cops bust in and said, hey, you can't do that. That's prostitution.
Yep.
It was in a seedy hotel room, and they were right next to the ice maker. They thought the noise would cover it. It didn't. Anyway.
That was a very descriptive story.
It's a very descriptive story. It's almost as if I put forethought into it. Anyway. T-Mobile's parent company, the Deutsche Telekom, is reportedly discussing a potential merger with Metro PCS here in the States. It's talking about basically, you know, either doing a stock exchange or just outright selling T-Mobile to them.
Which is a shock.
I know. Metro PCS is the fifth largest wireless carrier in the United States.
Smaller than T-Mobile.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because T-Mobile is the fourth. Why would...
Correct.
I mean, they're, like, hemorrhaging subscribers, but it doesn't make that much sense to me.
Well, the thing is Metro PCS is one of the fastest growing carriers. So I'm going to assume everyone is leaving T-Mobile for Metro PCS. So there's actually a good bit of irony to this.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very surprising. Like, I'd understand the merger, but the sale, that's actually very surprising.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll keep our eyes on this one and see what comes of it. It's rumors and speculation as of right now, so hopefully we get some solid news pretty soon. And I'll be interested to see what happens, because this would bring Metro PCS into the limelight. It'll bring them, if T-Mobile goes away, they become the fourth most powerful cell phone company in the United States. That's no small feat.
No. And the thing is something needs to happen. We need an additional competitor, because as much as we talk about AT&T and Verizon screwing people over, the fact is if you add up the plans, you add up everything, and look at what the average user costs or what the average user pays for, you know, the services they actually need, they're almost all identical. Whether it's Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, there's $10, maybe $15 total difference in the monthly bill. Both Metro PCS and T-Mobile are drastically cheaper as of right now, because they have to be. They have to get customers. They're trying to keep customers. But to be able to combine the two should allow some true competition and some, you know, actual competitive pricing out of the big three, even though AT&T will never do that. You know, it's something that Verizon definitely could use to be dropped down a few notches also.
Yeah, well, I got a swift kick in the balls for AT&T. I'll knock them down a few notches. You know, I wish I could remember who said it. Let's see here. Furious Google search. Quick!
Women in doubt.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay, Randall Stevenson. Haha, I found it. Randall Stephenson recently said he's a AT&T. He's the AT&T CEO. I don't believe. I think Randall Stephenson's actually the CEO of AT&T overall, not just the mobile division. I think isn't Ralph De La Vega the head of AT&T Mobile? I think he is. I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Because he's he's a little worm that I don't like. Anyway.
Yep.
So AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson said that he has been losing sleep over Apple's iMessage because it is taking more of their revenue because of messaging and, you know, using data instead of SMS. And it's, you know, it's typical of AT&T being a bunch of D-bags, you know? And recently, iMessage was what he was worried about. And I got to tell you, buddy, if you take on the iPhone and you know that it can do all these things, you're going to have to get used to it. That's just the way smartphones work. That's why they're smart.
Well, what we are really saying is that carriers refuse to accept the fact you can do everything they provide through the internet. The internet already did it all. All the cell phone providers provided was a way for you to kind of do some of those things when you're out and about with your cell phone.
Exactly.
You could call people over the internet. Well, now you can call people when you're out and about. I can IM somebody on the internet. Now I can text message them. Mm-hmm. I can check my email at home. Now I can check it when I'm out.
Exactly.
Well, now that we actually have mobile computers, well, I'm sorry, you know, cell phone providers. We only need your spectrum. We don't need you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we need data. That's all we need. Because
exactly.
You want to make a phone call, Google Voice, Skype. There you go. Mm-hmm. There's two options right there. There's a ton of other options. Google Voice and Skype are just the biggest. All right, you want to send a text message. Skype sends regular text messages. Google Voice sends regular text messages. Or if you want to IM someone, I'm not even going to go through all your options because they're limitless. An unbelievable amount. You want a video chat? Skype, Google Talk on Nexus devices, FaceTime, you know, text messaging. You got iMessage, you got GTalk, and blah, 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 on and on and on. So we need data. In all honesty, in my mind, we could literally get rid of the voice spectrum and just use all of it for data and be just fine.
And even when it comes to actually making voice calls, the fact is that all the carriers are looking at doing voice over 3G or voice over LTE, you know, Volt and or Volt-E, within the next year to 2 years anyway.
Yeah,
we're going to be dropping 1X and 2G services. They're not going to be necessary. Everything will be done over the internet. Yes, it'll be using their protocols, but it won't be any different. The way that Sprint and the other carriers will be doing voice over LTE or any of the voice over 3G, which I doubt they'll ever get to that point, but they'll probably just go straight to LTE. But is the exact same way Skype already does it. The exact same way Google Voice already does it. There will be nothing different about it. And guess what? They're not charging – well, Skype and Google aren't charging you an arm and a leg for it. The carriers are going to.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's not necessarily a problem here in the States because we buy text messages like by the 500 to 1500s and unlimited, you know? But in European countries, some of those countries, they still charge you per text message. You know, I mean, that can add up. I can only imagine, you know, wow. If you got per text message, I mean, I send a lot of text messages. I do a lot of the data, you know, communication, but everybody I talk to for some reason is hanging on to text messaging. So I still use a lot of it, and I can imagine that would add up very quickly for me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Let's see here. I'm reading a article here. It's from a website called G-Thing, and they basically break down the price of text messaging via, like, its actual byte and megabyte prices. It's pretty interesting. I'll have to remember the site and put it in the show notes. They work you through all the math of it and basically tell you that at the end, let's see here, the cost to transfer the equivalent of 2,560 songs via your regular internet connection is about $1. And the price to do it via SMS messaging, $15,339,212.80.
Yep. For no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, because exactly. Let's face it, half of you people out there that have your AT&T cell phones with their internet and what they're charging you and the SMS that they're charging you and everything that would want to use that service, chances are you're using AT&T for your home service anyway, for your home internet service. They have that figured out. They don't have that anywhere near as restricted. What's the difference? The wireless spectrum? Really? Because it's their inefficiencies that are causing the problem.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, cell phone carriers. They wear me out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, so speaking of cell phones.
Flawless segue.
I put all the cell phone news at the end. This is actually your story, Sam, so I'm going to let you cover it. Tell me what's going on with HTC, because you brought this to my attention right before I hit the record button.
Ah, yes. It's because it just popped up right before we hit the record button. Okay, so HTC coming out with some awesome new phones, the One X and the Evo 4G LTE. A lot of people looking forward to getting those, unless you're in America. Why? Well, you can thank Apple, and I expect to see every single one of you HTC fans at an Apple store tomorrow complaining about it. You know, holding up your signs, be the 99%. Well, you all remember the lawsuit that Apple won against HTC, in which they actually received an injunction against HTC to prevent them from importing their devices to the United States. Well, someone either forgot to tell HTC about it, or somebody didn't do their job to get that removed. Now their device is stuck in customs in the United States, not going anywhere. HTC, they'll probably get it straightened out fairly quickly, but the fact is your devices are going to be delayed indefinitely. So no time frame as of right now. Chances are by next week we'll know. I mean, if it's a big deal, then this could be a very hefty loss for HTC, especially considering, you know, they're getting closer and more rumors are coming out about the new iPhone. The S3 will be receiving launch coming up. This delay is probably going to hurt them pretty bad. They're trying to downplay it, but I'm not optimistic about it.
Yeah, it's not good at all. You know, I mean, anytime a device that so many people are looking forward to gets delayed because of something stupid like this is just not good. You know, but they fixed the issue. They just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, they have the software fix available. In fact, these devices may not even violate that ruling.
It might already be installed on these.
Exactly. And that is one of the issues. You all have wondered about what the issues that were truly caused, why we bring up all these lawsuits and copyright infringements. This is why. This is asinine. Completely.
You're being so
There's
obtuse.
No need for this.
What did you call me?
Oh,
obtuse. You're being obtuse.
that's exactly.
every time I think of Shawshank Redemption, I think of the warden being AT&T. Or it could just be the sodomizers that are AT&T. Maybe that's it. I guess that's probably
could
better.
Be both.
That's closer. Oh yeah. Man. Anyway. So, Yeah, that's bad news for HTC. Very bad news. Hopefully they get this figured out very quickly and get the phones back on their way, because, you know, they need those new devices out there. Their last foray into the large screen phone devices was, wasn't it the Evo 3D?
Arguably, yeah. It was a little bit smaller than their previous devices, but still considered a large device.
Yeah, so they need these. Big time.
Yeah, because the Evo 3D was terrible.
No, it's horrible.
Just terrible.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
It the thing is that we all knew 3D was a gimmick. The whole world knew 3D was a gimmick. And now, at this point in time, when was the last time we've brought up 3D at all? I think we brought up for 2 or 3 podcasts, and that was it. There has since then been no news anywhere in the world about 3D.
And I'm so happy about that.
I agree. Killed your battery for nothing.
Yeah.
And for those of you wondering, the phone is listed out of stock, not because it's out of stock, because legally you can't even pre-order it in America.
Yeah.
Because, well, it's not an American device.
Not out of it stock because it was never in stock. Ah.
Exactly.
All right. Next story. Remember that company, Light Squared? Of course you don't, because nobody does. No. Light Squared was a company that owned some spectrum that was very close to GPS spectrum, and they wanted to put nationwide broadband with it, basically partnering up with Sprint to put an LTE network across the United States. The Sprint deal obviously fell through because Light Squared could not get their technology not to interfere with GPS satellites. Now, it is not Light Squared's fault, because GPS satellites are notoriously messy in their bandwidth or in their spectrum. They jump all over the place. They are not exact. So Light Squared was in their spectrum and fine. The problem is the GPS satellites and receivers kind of drift over. The United States government decided that just wasn't going to fly, and why fix GPS when we can just shut down this little company? Boo, number one. Maybe you should reevaluate GPS just a little.
Considering that the government, the United States government, is the one that auctioned off the spectrum in the first place.
You know, I mean, you cannot sell property that is landlocked. Meaning you can't sell property that someone can't get to or get out of legally, you know, roads or something like that. So you shouldn't be able to sell spectrum that someone can't use because you know your satellites are too freaking messy to deal with it.
Exactly.
That's wrong. But anyway, Light Squared has officially filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They're about $1.6 million in debt. It's their deal with Sprint fell through because the government wouldn't give them authorization. The FCC has plainly told them, no, you're not doing it. There's nothing you can do that's going to change our minds. So, yeah, looks like the end of Light Squared.
And nationwide LTE.
Yeah, so.
Not really. I mean, suffice to say, I'll give Verizon props to that. They are doing a good job of rolling out an in-house LTE network, but it would have been nice to see more competition, and that is just what the government has stomped and pissed all over for no reason.
Congratulations. All because you were afraid your GPS satellites were going to fall out of the sky.
Yep. We don't need defense missiles. Suffice to say, no one ever bombs us. Who would ever know? It probably messes with their satellites, too.
Well, it's a stupid freaking problem to have. It really is.
It is.
I mean,
considering how long the satellites have been up there and using that frequency, it took this long for us to realize it. It was never brought to attention before this.
Exactly. I mean, seriously, depending on when these satellites were launched, I mean, my iPad probably has more processing power in it than most computers did at that time.
Easily.
So
easily,
you think we might be able to solve this little issue with what the hell? Yeah. I mean, we need some firmware updates.
Oh yeah,
maybe AT&T is in charge of the satellites' firmware updates, because then they'll never get them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they will eventually, long after they've fallen back to the earth or been shot out of the sky.
Which, with AT&T in charge of them, would actually be very soon.
Yeah, well, that's actually true.
Or they'd up their data charges, and then the government couldn't afford to have GPS.
Well, what do you think happened to NASA?
AT&T upped their cell phone bill.
I am blaming AT&T for the downfall of NASA.
Yeah, I think Ralph Del Vega actually went back in time and shot Kennedy, too.
Very likely.
He was the second
guy. Even now, logging onto Wikipedia and fixing the AT&T page to show their crimes.
All right. So, next story. NVIDIA. Haven't heard a lot from them in the news. I mean, little releases here and there, but nothing pretty intense. NVIDIA has released is going to be releasing a new, and I use quotation marks, new technology called GeForce Grid. It's basically cloud gaming. It'll end up doing is big server farms will handle all the gaming number crunching, and they will stream the video to your computer, meaning that no matter how powerful your computer is, you'll be able to game the newest games at the highest resolutions, and the only thing it's going to rely on is your bandwidth speed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used quotation marks on new because there is another company that is, and I'm not going to give AT&T, I got them on the brain now. I'm not going to give NVIDIA very much props for this because there's another company that's been doing this for quite a while. It's called OnLive, and they do the exact same thing, have been for quite a while. They even have a small console that you can buy for your TV and use it for that way. It works on Android tablets, works on the iPad, works on Mac, works on Windows. You name it, they got it. It's a great service. It's free to sign up for a regular account, and they have some games you can demo, some games you can play for free. You buy games, you can play them from anywhere. They have a remote you can, or like a controller you can buy that will actually connect to the iPad via wireless, and you can play games on your iPad. That's pretty freaking cool. So, NVIDIA, you're a little late to the party. Hopefully, your technology helps out on live, because I'm always for a company who got there first. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. That's all we have this week. We actually had more than we originally thought we were going to have. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam, would you...
Some last second digging.
Exactly. Furious Google searching.
Yes.
We are the keyboard cowboys. All right. I was trying to remember the second part of that. We are samurai, the keyboard cowboys. And all the other little users out there are cattle. Yeah. Moo. It's from the movie Hackers, by the way. Anyway, Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you.
You can find me on Twitter at TheManToMan. You can email me at Gmail, ManToMan@gmail.com. Facebook, named Sam Briggs, Guy in a Kilt. On here, SamBriggs@8IsAGeek.com. You can most likely find me in a Walmart, that is, if in person, or a Waffle House. Just hit up Waffle Houses until you run into me. I'll look like the guy on my Facebook smoking pipe tobacco. I'm trying to think anywhere else. Might pass me on the highway. If you're really interested in stalking me, these are my main locations. So I think that's it.
Awesome. If you want to find me on Twitter, my handle is @PenOfDoom. You can email me, jesse88daysofgeek.com. You can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find out pretty much everything about me. Get it? About.me. And if you'd like to call us, leave a message, or send us a text message. Yeah, we get texts. We're in that club, man. It may be expensive to transfer songs via text, but it's not expensive for you to text us. And that number is 754-273-6397. And for those of you who, I got nothing for you right now. Usually I try to come up with some quip. I don't got it. I'm tired. So I'll just give you the number again. 754-273-6397. Did you hear that? That was my condescending little little dig.
I think I missed it. I'll be completely honest.
Did you hear that? No, because I don't listen to you ever.
You were rattling off a number.
I listen to keywords, and when you say my name, I start talking. All right.
Mostly I listen for the silence.
The silence of the lambs. Okay, anyway, before we go more off track, thanks for joining us this week, guys, and join us next week for more chewed up and spit out tech news. Can't wait. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay.